It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, today on It's a Good Life, we're going to continue our study in the books of the New Testament. And today we want to look at 1 Corinthians. And remember, we're not going in depth in these studies. What I'm trying to do is get us a bird's eye view, something that will help us to think our way through the New Testament. Well, some of the background on the book of 1 Corinthians, the author of this book is Paul the Apostle. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sothenes, our brother. Well, now it would appear that possibly Sothenes might have been a scribe whom Paul used to pen down these words. And in verse 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Let me remind you that, you know, we often say that Paul is the author of this, and Peter is the author of this, and John is the author. Actually, God is the author of the Bible. He used men of God to pen down what he wanted penned down. That doesn't mean that we're not getting an accurate view of what is going on during the time these books have been written. On the contrary, this is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And once we understand that God is God, he cannot lie, he does not change, he is the author of the New Testament, of the Old Testament. He is the author of the Word of God. And that's the reason we call it the Word of God, is because God is the author. And by the way, I use the King James Bible. I believe it is the Word of God. And if you're not using the King James, you need to be using it, because it not only, some people say it contains the Word of God, it is the Word of God. So let me advise you and give you encouragement to get a King James Bible if you're not using one right now. Well, I would remind you that although the letter of 1 Corinthians was written to the Corinthian believers at Corinth, that verse in chapter 1, verse 2, talks about the church of God, and to every place that call upon the name of Jesus our Lord, Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, this would point me in the direction of understanding that this book is also written to us, those who call upon the name of our Lord to save us, who have been saved, who have trusted Jesus as our Savior. So we can look at this book, 1 Corinthians, as instruction to us as well. Well, Paul had originally preached the gospel in Corinth, and many people had been converted when they, those who received this letter. The date that this was written was approximately 57 AD. Now, the setting for this book is that we understand that Paul had received information about the situation in Corinth, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 11 through 21. He had received a letter from a congregation asking certain questions. Well, he planned to visit these people, but wanted them to change some attitudes and relationships before he arrived, so he wouldn't have to deal harshly with them. And there were a lot of problems here in this church at Corinth. So therefore, Paul wanted these things straightened out before he got there. Well, there's probably several reasons, and of course, we understand that he wanted this straightened out because these problems, as they would be straightened out, would help these believers to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. And it would also free up Paul to go out and win other souls to help this church to grow and help this church within itself to win souls, to bring others to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Well, the key verses here, I believe, are 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 29 through 31. First of all, it says there in verse 29 that no flesh should glory in his presence. Verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Verse 31, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. In other words, don't be puffed up, thinking yourself more highly than you should because of, all things are of the Lord. We should bring honor and glory to the Lord. Remember that as we serve Him, we are to bring honor and glory to Him, not to ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, and we can look at these verses as key verses. Verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." In other words, fleshly, just as someone who has not been saved, he's saying. And he goes on to say, "even as unto babes in Christ." Well, those people who have not grown in the nurture and admonition of the Lord are babes in Christ. In other words, they're not paying attention. They're not listening to what God has to say, what Paul is, the instructions they've received actually from God. Well, Paul goes on to say this in verse 2. He says, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat." In other words, I've babied you along and haven't given you strong food. And yet, he goes on to say, "for hitherto you were not able to bear it." In other words, you couldn't absorb it. You think of this, you don't give a baby a steak. You give that baby milk. And that's what Paul is trying to get across to these people. He says, "I want to be able to feed you with the meat of the Word. I want you to get into the Word, but you haven't been able to bear it as of yet. You can't understand it to the point of taking it in." And he goes on to say, "neither yet now are ye able." Well, in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, and he tells them why they're not able. He says, "for ye are yet carnal." Well, there's that word carnal again. You're fleshly, he says. You're acting like the unsaved people. "For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" And he says, here's proofs that you haven't grown and you're acting just like unsaved people. You're envying. You want something that somebody else has. There's strife. There's arguing and quarreling and divisions. He goes on to say, "are ye not yet carnal and walk as men?" In other words, or as the unsaved of this world? So we see that some of the background on the book, and we look at that, and then we see the purpose of the book. The purpose, first of all, is to deal with certain problems. And we've already talked about that. There were problems within the church. Paul wanted to deal with some problems that existed in the church, and central to all their problems was their living and glorying in the flesh and not in the Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 29 through 31. And we've read that. They were walking in the flesh. They were not doing the things of God. And then we see that another purpose of writing this letter to the Corinthians, there was a problems there, and they needed to be corrected. These Corinthian believers needed to understand the practical reality of love. They need to be reminded of God, the God of love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 9, it says, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." Well, God is love. We know that. God loved us so much. He sent His Son to die on the cross for us, according to John chapter 3 and verse 16. He sent His Son that we could be saved and go to heaven. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." Well, I don't think I would be doing any disservice to this verse if I would say that it is the love of God. We're saved by the love of God. Without His love, no one would go to heaven. But He loves us, and he wants all people to come to a saving knowledge. Well, notice something about the preachers as well of the gospel. Preachers of the gospel are to exhibit love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, it says this, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Well, in demonstration of the love of God. In other words, he was doing this because of love for man. And first of all, Paul was saved by the love of God. We're saved by the love of God, by the love of Christ. And Paul was saying that because he was reminded daily that he was saved by the power of God, the love of God, that he was constrained to preach the Word of God to help others understand that they needed to be saved, and that also he did this because it was out of love. He loved these people. He loved souls. He loved man. Well, then we see that Jesus also, that no greater love has this than a man lay down his life. And Jesus laid down his life. And we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven," in other words, the old sin, "that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened," in other words, without sin. "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Well, the Bible says that we are to walk in the Spirit and truth of God. It says that we are made clean through the Word, and that someone ask Christ, "What is truth?" And Christ said, "I am truth." He said, "I've been here. I know the truth." He says, "I am the truth." Well, the Bible says that Christ is the truth, the way, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. So it was the love of Christ that helps us. And it is the love of Christ that helps us, that leads us to the cross. And that's when we see Christ hanging on the cross, and it was love that sent Him there. Well, there are so many other areas that we could look at here. And Paul himself, we see the hope. They had a hope in God. And it's not a hope like, "Well, I hope it happens." It's an expression that something is going to happen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3 says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." See, they had a blessed hope. And this is the love of God. Well, the reality of love is this. It's seen in the Lord's Supper as we remember our Lord's death. It's seen in the church as we help one another. And it's seen in giving, the giving first of all of ourselves to the Lord for His service. And then we give of the substance that God has blessed us with. It's all of love. And there are so many other things that we could look at today. And there are applications that we can look at, but God loves us, and He wants every person in this world to be saved. And I pray that you have trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, that you know Him today. And if you do know Him, you need to be serving Him out of love, because He first loved us.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.